I'm joined this morning by Carl Doubleday, who is an organist and music lover, as well as the director of the Millwood Fine Arts Series, which is held at Millwood United Methodist Church in Kalamazoo, starting in February through December. Carl, nice to have you on the line.
Thank you, Karen. It's certainly fun to be here.
I should also mention that Mr. Doubleday is also the retired associate director of the Western Michigan University School of Music and known to generations of music students, myself included. Well, let's start with how the pandemic affected the Millwood Fine Arts Series, Carl. Would you tell us what's happened in the last few months?
Well, first of all, the Millwood Series, which this was its 33rd season. It started in 1988. It's usually four events a year, but most unusually, it's a calendar year season, not what we would call an academic year season.
Right.
So the 2020 season, you know, starts and finishes in that year. And this year we were able to have a February event with the virus on the horizon there. But
you had the Kalamazoo
the next
Singers.
Event in May, Kalamazoo Singers. And as long as we've been around, that's the first time we've had them on our series.
Huh.
So that made a special event. One of our choir members at Millwood sings with the Kalamazoo Singers. And that made the connection to have them with us very convenient and enjoyable. And then the other three programs in the year each had a reason, a very wonderful reason for being there. And first we knew we couldn't do our May concert, and then eventually it became more apparent that we didn't even know if the church was going to be open to people in October. And then the December program, we can talk more about each of them as you wish, was impossible because it was a male chorus from Western, and there aren't going to be any choirs at Western this fall, as best as we can tell.
It's, the pandemic has hit the choral world very hard, yes.
Yes, it particularly, it's really severe. I mean, people have to sit together closely in instrumental ensembles, but they aren't breathing at each other.
They're not shoulder to shoulder.
With great energy, I might add. You know, the singers really work hard. So we finally decided that we had to just cancel the rest of the season. And that word is getting out just now, actually. We made that final decision a couple weeks ago. The fine arts team did. And we're going to get a mailer out to our congregation and to our patrons announcing that we're just now hoping that we can have some programs in 2021. Now, you know, that's not even a given, is it, Kara?
No, I don't think so. We are living in great uncertainty right now. You said that the concerts you had scheduled had real personal or wonderful connections, good reasons to schedule them. What were some of those special reasons? And do you think you will just simply ask the artist to return when it's safe again?
I'm glad you asked that, because there's a possibility that some way the three that we had to cancel, there is a theoretically might can happen in 2021. The one in May, to show you how special it was Laurie Sims and Western's new violin professor, David Lisker. And we wanted to help introduce David to the arts community of Kalamazoo, and that was the impetus behind that program. And they were both very gracious and ready to do it. And Laurie, on behalf of the two of them, Laurie has agreed to open the 2021 series if it can happen, or in other words, at least still do a concert on the Millwood series in 2021 if that's possible. The second story for the October was a young tenor who grew up in Schoolcraft and went through Western Michigan University and has gone on and up ever since. And now he's based in New York City. He sings with a couple professional choirs in the United States, including Seraphic Fire down in Miami. He does a lot of appearances with orchestra, and he does solo recitals. And we were going to virtually bring him home. His family was so excited. And the most special connection we had to Patrick Millay is his name, Patrick, was that while he was an undergraduate, he spent a little over a year singing in the choir at Millwood as one of our choral scholars. So that was going to be real fun.
Oh.
And then the last program in December was to be a Christmas concert by Western's male chorus called Amphion, which is directed by Ken Pruitt. Well, Ken Pruitt does not belong to our church, but sometimes you wouldn't know it because he's been so helpful to us in the arts and, and identifying our choral scholars. And he's only one more year, and then he'll be retired. So we were going to not only have bring that chorus back, they sang with us in 29, and it was standing room only. We were totally unprepared for it because it was a late December program.
Yeah.
And yet there it was, packed to the walls. So we were bringing him back, and we were going to honor, and he knows that we were going to honor him at that event. Well, we advertised that program as college men dressed in tuxedos singing Christmas music.
It paints a picture.
It does. I think that's what sold the house the last time. But Ken will be doing that course, if it exists, in you know, next semester, January through April. He's willing to consider an April program, if it's possible. It just won't be Christmas music. And Patrick, we just ask him to look, see if it's possible for him to come back just 1 year later in October of 2021, and I hope that's possible. And that's pretty much the story of our 33rd season. Oh, I only have memory of having to cancel two programs in the first 32 years.
Oh, my.
And they were both in the snow season.
Yeah.
And so, other than that, we aren't very accustomed to dealing with having to cancel our programs. They're very special to us.
I'm speaking to Carl Doubleday about the Millwood Fine Arts Series held at Millwood United Methodist Church in Kalamazoo. And I know that a lot of presenters are embracing online concerts, and you've decided to forego that idea, but the church itself, you were telling me off the air, has done quite a lot of outreach online.
Yes. We are a medium-sized congregation in these times. So we aren't bursting the technology on a regular basis. So it was quite an adventure for us. But within a week, we were able to piece together our first online service. And we've been doing it ever since. We're not able to live stream yet, although that seems to be something we're considering, because our congregation's leaders and our pastor are determined not to encourage people to gather until we have reason, responsible reasons to be safe. And pretty much that means until we have a vaccination. But that's yet to be seen. But I think a lot of churches are thinking that way. But everyone puts their pieces together, their parts of the service, the readers, the soloist, if there's one, et cetera. And then one of our tech people at the church piece this service together. And I'll have to say it's getting better all the time. And it's fun. We have, of course, like any church, people who who have left our church and moved far away, and they're watching. They're going to church with us again now. Arizona, New Jersey, things like that. So it's an outreach by necessity, which I think has been refreshing and rewarding and well worth it for sure.
It's a hopeful note that it's, you know, even though you can't be together in person, online, people who are outside of our community and even community members who you don't see in person are tuning in, like on the radio.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. By the way, thank you for that box this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought, you know, Carl Doubleday, organ, keyboard, Bach, it all. It's a holistic choice.
good thinking as always, Kira.
Well, I actually wanted to play a recording in a few minutes featuring the Western Michigan University Symphonic Band under the direction of Robert Spradling. I mention him because he passed away last week after suffering a stroke. And since you knew him for many years, I'd like your thoughts on the person we lost.
Yes. The things that I did at Western included administering, producing several monster events a year, like the Summer Music Camp and the gigantic Southwestern Michigan Vocal Festival, and above all, the very successful Spring Conference on Wind and Percussion Music, which Carl Beauregard started a long time ago. And so I have to work very closely with the director of bands every year to put that together. And I've been lucky that they've all been wonderful and supportive colleagues, appreciative as well, that they could be, that these events were available, and because they all benefited high school students.
Mm-hmm.
That's, every one of those events was centered around students at the high school level.
Bringing young people from all over the state to the School
exactly.
of Music. Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the vocal festival, it was up from all over southwestern Michigan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they would bring, someone would bring over 100 to schools, you know, and they had to come and go on the same day. They had to go back home.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. And my memory of that festival goes back when I sang in it, and I figured it out. It was 1959 when it was in the old field house. And the festival got so huge, the Southwestern Michigan Vocal Festival. They were doing it two nights in a row with over up to 2,000 singers each night. That was back when high schools basically had huge choral programs. Maybe it's because it's like pre-soccer days or something like that. I don't know. But Bob Spradling was a joy to work with. As I was thinking about him this morning, I remembered that the School of Music for a while, when Dieter Honecke was president, took its annual Christmas concert to Grand Rapids in addition to presenting it in Miller Auditorium. It was a huge undertaking. And so in some cases, I would go with the directors that were involved up there to, you know, kind of check out the venue. Like, where are we going to put this band? Where are we going to put this choir and orchestra and so forth? And I remember one fall going up there with Bob Spradling in his bright blue Porsche convertible.
I did not know about the blue Porsche.
He called it his summer car. And it was his pride and joy. And we went up there with the top off, and it was really fun. And I remember telling him, I said, you know what you need to do, Bob? You and Diana need to drive through wine country in early fall, because with no top on your car, everywhere you go, you can smell the ripe grapes. And I had no idea he even paid attention to me. But later on, he assured me, we did that, Carl. They did that.
Oh.
And so I have lots of good memories of all those band directors, and Bob Spradling, no exception. Yeah.
I knew him as a kind man and who always seemed grateful to just be able to be doing what he was doing, making music, working with students.
Oh, yes. And it wasn't a director of bands at a university is not an easy task by any means, because it often includes liaison with the athletic department.
Lots of meetings.
That's a huge responsibility. And Bob Spradling came to us from Syracuse, where he had to deal with bigger-than-life personalities, coaches like Joe Paterno, in their athletic conference, you know?
Oh, my.
And he had quite a few stories. I don't think the job here at Western required quite that much of the director of band's time, because the athletic department worked directly with the marching band directors for the most part. But you sometimes forget that band directors, you know, at the University of Love have to be musicians and good conductors and very good politicians in some regard in order to make everything run so smoothly and he was good at that, too.
Well, I expect in the next few weeks to be checking in with some of the band directors at WMU, including Scott Borma. So I think we'll have a chance to hear more appreciations of Bob Spradling. And my condolences go to his wife, Diana. We also lost another family member of the School of Music, you might say, Shirley Suddendorf.
Yes, just only about a week before Bob passed away. Or just after. I'm so sorry, Kira. It was very close together. I got a call from Richard Suddendorf, who was Bob Spradling's predecessor. I think there was an interim in there, but it was Suddendorf to Spradling to Scott Borma. That's them. And the Suddendorfs, Richard and Shirley, were both 90 years old, and they had been married 68 years. And their birthdays are only like a month apart, and I always send them cards. And Suds, as everybody knew, Dick Suddendorf, Suds, usually call me somewhere in between the cards just to talk. And he did so this year, not that long ago, in the spring, and Shirley got on the phone, too. So, it doesn't get much more special than that when you've worked with such spectacular people. It's a joy. Very rewarding, and the memories are endless.
Well, Carl, you know, I'm really glad that you're still healthy and active, and and your wonderful experiences and memories are still able to be shared here. I'm thinking we could end, perhaps, with a reminder to listeners to keep an eye out for the Millwood Fine Arts Series returning, possibly in 2021, with another series of really personal to our community concerts.
Exactly.
Yeah, ways to get to know the people who are going to have a big impact on generations of artists in West Michigan. Any final thoughts, Carl, before we listen to this wonderful recording from, I think it was commissioned for the 100th anniversary of the School of Music, this band.
Oh!
Yeah, this is from 2013, I think.
Yes, that was the centennial of the music school. school, I think. Sometimes, no. Centennial, I think of the...
I think you were right. It's the School of Music Centennial, it says right here in the program.
Yeah. Oh, does it?
Yeah.
There we go. Because the band, 100th year, the marching band is this fall, believe it or not. But back to the Millwood series, as I sat here waiting for your call, I just said to myself, you know, what out of all of these programs over three decades, is there one that just blew me away? And there were several, but I have to mention that through the grace of lots of entities, for our 25th anniversary year, which was 2012, we opened the series with the Fisk Jubilee Singers from Fisk University, which is a world-renowned choir that sings Negro spiritual, flat out. That's the genre, Negro spirituals, like probably nobody else does. And that we had a connection there because the current director of the Fisk Jubilee Singers, I just went online not long ago, unrelated to this call, to find out if he was still there. But the director of Fisk Jubilee Singers did a master's degree program at Western under Mel Ivey a long time ago. So that program was something I never thought we could possibly present because their artist fee is so huge, but a lot of entities came together to make it possible in our 25th year. So I know I pushed that in without any invitation.
Well, you remember.
Carry on, Carol.
I can say that in the last year, I actually did a YouTube deep dive and watched a lot of their performances for the energy,
good.
the spirituality, the energy, just the incredible uplift that group brings to every performance. So I'm not surprised it's one of your all-time favorite concerts.
It was spiritual above all things amongst the musicianship. It was transporting. The conductor doesn't even conduct. He does all of the teaching and then he just sits off to the side and they sing. Just blew me away.
I'm sure you've seen the St. Olaf Choir, which they hold hands as they sing.
Yes, very subtly in those long sleeved robes that they wear.
Oh, this is bringing back great memories of live performances that we've been to, and let's keep our fingers crossed that we can kind of cross this difficult period and come out with more music on the other side.
Yeah. Our souls need it, Kara.
I hear you. It's been wonderful to catch up, Carl. And why don't I just finish off with this piece from the Western Michigan University Symphonic Band led by Robert Spradling. It's called Stylus Fantasticus. And he commissioned it from a composer named Catherine Saalfelder. Well, let's give it a listen. Thank you again, Carl.
Thank you, Kara, for remembering the Millwood series. That was very kind of you.
Anytime.